there's certainly you know, a Republican philosophy that the government has grown too large and that it should stop growing, and one sign of that obviously is the growth in the federal workforce. So there's a promise here to outside of security personnel to freeze the government where it is now. So basically a net hiring freeze. If somebody left, you could hire someone new. You'd have to get that through a Senate that is certain to have a Democratic you know, minority at the very least, probably a majority, but maybe a minority that's strong enough to block it. And then, of course, the President of the United States is highly unlikely to support something like that.
The other one that's in there that is particularly of interest to federal agencies is spending cuts, return to 2008 domestic spending levels. Also, I mean, they can't really agree on spending levels for this year, let alone to make any kind of significant cuts, it seems.
And it's also interesting with such large budget deficits and a growing debt and entitlement programs that are really the bulk of the budget. What you see in this plan is really setting the stage for a fight over a very narrow portion of the budget. Now, of course, if you're at a federal agency that gets $30 billion a year, you don't think of $100 billion as a small amount, but sort of in the context of the federal government, you know, it's a small piece that I think will be the fight between Congress and the president.
If you're in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, $100 million sounds like a lot of money.
Right. Yeah. Certainly $100 billion. So, I mean, Republicans will want to cut that from domestic discretionary spending, returning it, as they said, to 2008 levels. I think there's a lot of wiggle room in there between where they want to go and cutting a little bit. And the president may be willing to do that some, particularly if the economy is getting better. Some of the numbers that they're factoring into that appear to be numbers for agencies that were boosted by stimulus dollars, which were always intended to be, at least Democrats say, always intended to be short-term boosts rather than things that raise the baseline for those agencies. So, for instance, the Education Department, which got, I believe, $80 billion in the stimulus, about double its annual money in one lump sum in addition to that year's money. The idea wasn't for it to become a $120 billion baseline,
right,
at some point to go down.
You give one of the provisions is repeal the Obama health care overhaul, which you say has no chance. But the other one that I really enjoyed was on reading the bill. They pledge that lawmakers will actually read bills before they pass them, which always seems like, how do you pass bills that you don't read? But it happens a lot.
Right. Well, first of all, you can't really force people to read a bill.
Right.
So I think, you know, what they're talking about is putting into effect rules that have a certain number of days that a bill would have to be up online before it comes to the floor. And you can put those rules in place, but the truth is that they are often waived. And, in fact, there are rules now that are frequently waived that address just that. But even reading the bill isn't necessarily the best way to understand what's going on there. Typically reading a report, which is sort of a plain English version of the bill that describes what its provisions mean, is a little more informative for members of Congress. They have staffs that break things down and give them summaries so that they can quickly grasp what the issue is. If you read actual bill language, it can be very daunting and often refers to existing law and section, you know, changing commas and a few words in section 1700,
right, paragraph 5.
Exactly. So reading the bill itself is often an exercise in futility.